Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, verses 8 through 18. Three young men refuse to bow. The context, the background of the story, we know that Israel has been taken off into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, this empire, so powerful, the Babylonian Empire, and Nebuchadnezzar, this empire, they embraced many gods. They were polytheistic, and they've taken God's people, a monotheistic people, and they've placed them in captivity. But during that captivity, God has elevated certain of these folk. And because God elevated these certain Jews, Daniel and the like, they're prominent and they stood out head and shoulders above the other people, and they had been placed in some very strategic positions in the empire. And you know, whenever you are doing God's bidding, and whenever you are being you, see, if I can tell any of you anything today, I would like to share this with you. Just be you. You know, can't nobody beat you being you. And if you're a child of God, you need to represent being a child of God every day, every walk in your life. And here we're going to find that these three young men, despite the threats, despite the odds, despite the accusations against them, they were able to overcome a very threatening situation. And we know the story of how, they were persecuted. There was an attempt, but God delivered them. But this morning, I want just to focus on how they got to where they are. They got there because they were children of God who knew that God is God, supreme, superlative over everything. There is no other God like him. That's the mentality. And God had given a commandment, Brother Bogan, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images. They learned that lesson. That's who they were. They were God worshipers. But they're in captivity, but yet they're elevated. They're in prominent positions, and people don't like that. Oh, that right there should be enough family church school lesson for you already. Because whenever you do anything for God, God's people will be persecuted. They will be accused. And so it is. There are folk who don't like the fact that you are anointed. They can't do what you do, but they want what you do. They can't say what you say, but they want to say. Oh, Sister Paulette, I know what I'm talking about. That as soon as you, if you stand firm for God, you are going to be in trouble. Oh, y'all don't believe me. Joe Richardson, would you just give me verse 1?
Sure. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon.
Now, here's the scheme. Build an image. You had a dream. Build an image. And have everybody bow down and worship. Nebuchadnezzar does it. It says it right there. Big old statue, just like the one in his dream. Gold statue, 6 cubits in breadth, 60 cubits in height. Bow down. When you hear the instruments, when you hear the music going, and the band strikes up, you get the bowing. I want everybody to bow. But in verse 8, Sister Stallings, in verse 8 and 9, we see something.
Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever.
So here comes these accusers, these certain Chaldeans. And you know, this particular verse gives us some implication of maybe some racial implications. But folk, don't get too narrow. Don't get too focused on race here. Because these Chaldeans were people who had been overlooked in the selection of these particular three Hebrew boys in the positions that they held in the kingdom. They had been elevated over some of these Chaldeans, and they don't like that. And they do what evil always does. They accuse. They accuse. And here's how they do it. They get the king's ear, and they, first of all, flatter the king, and then they lie to the king. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See, to build anybody's ego, you got to understand who Nebuchadnezzar is. Nebuchadnezzar is the most powerful man on earth at this time, Sister Lovelace. That Nebuchadnezzar was king of the Babylonian Empire, and Nebuchadnezzar had built a statue in the plains of Dura that said that every time you hear the cymbals, every time you hear the harp, every time you hear the band strike up, you bow. You give worship to this golden image, because in giving worship to the golden image, you acknowledge that Nebuchadnezzar is king. Oh, y'all don't hear me. There's a whole bunch of people that just want you to follow them no matter what. And when you don't follow them, there are those who don't buy into the cultic mentality. Oh, y'all better hear me. Oh, it's evangelism time, folks. So, Sister Bonds, I start with 105. I start way over the 105. We teach 12 whole weeks of nothing but how to identify a cult. And when you find people always mentioning one person, always giving homage to one person, you better watch. Because that's the definition of a cult. It's where one person gets all the attention, all the worship, and you do what they say do no matter what. Y'all better watch it. And whenever you stand against that, rather than submit to it, you are a problem. And they will accuse you. Joe, I'm here to tell you that they will accuse you. Because it says they came and they came flattering. Tell me what they said, Sister Stallings.
Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image.
And what's going to happen if they don't?
And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace.
In other words, The king had made a decree that if you don't fall down and worship, you're not being loyal to the king. Y'all listen. Listen, 105. Where are my 105 students? Y'all been through there. If you don't listen, if you don't do what the king says do, if you don't do what the cult leader says do, then you're being disloyal. And loyalty to the cultic mentality is more important than leadership. Y'all don't hear me? I said it, I represent it. Loyalty to the cultic mentality is more important. Why do you think we've gone through what we've gone through the last 4 or 5 years? It's because a cultic personality. As a matter of fact, Pastor Obi recommended a book. I suggest all of you book readers, if you really want to know why it is that Christians seem to be taking on this cultic fervor, read this book called Christians Who Hate Christianity. It's by Aubrey Hendrix. Christians Who Hate Christianity is how the evangelical right has been corrupted, so-called Christians, because what they've been done is drawn into a cultic mentality that they worship this figure, they worship this man. They would rather worship these gods who the man who the man represents. The man says, I want all the attention. You bow down when the music starts.
Again, sir?
Christians Who Hate Christianity.
By
Aubrey Hendrix.
Thank you.
Now, you heard what Sister Stallings told you, that these are the conditions. And if you don't bow, you're going into the burning fire. You're going to be persecuted. If you don't bow, you're going into the furnace. But y'all don't hear me. If you don't bow, you'll be persecuted. You'll be ostracized. You'll be accused. And therefore, if you've been accused, you're going to die. You're going to die. Folk, just think what's going on. Here these folk have been stripped of, there was an attempt to strip them of who they are. They are God's people. But now this is first of all, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that was not their Hebrew name. Their names were changed in hopes that they would be assimilated into the culture and therefore they would change. See, that's what people do. They want to change your name. They want to change who you are so that you can easily assimilate into what they are. In other words, they want to change who you are. They instead of you being who you are. But let me tell you something. Don't let your light, rather, be hid under a bushel of somebody else's perception of who you are. Don't let who you are be clothed, be hidden by what other people expect you to be. The only person you should be concerned about who you are and living up to their expectations is God Almighty himself. Thank you, Sister Stallings. Now, Brother Joe Richardson, Sister Stallings has set the tempo. Let's burn. Verse 12.
Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
Brother Bogan, did you hear what these loudmouth accusers said? They said, that these boys are defying you, O king, by not bowing down to this golden image. And you know what? they have disregarded you. O king, you know, you're great and you can fix anything. You're the only ones that can do it. You're mighty in so many ways. You're powerful. You're the only one can do it. Now, but O king, we got these three fellas here who don't want to bow down because they don't want to be obedient. They are disloyal. But you know what, folks? Whenever you're right, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. See, because conscience, if you're right, your conscience doesn't worry about consequences. Oh, y'all don't hear me. For you Twitters, y'all can tweet that. Your conscience, when you're right, your conscience doesn't care about consequences. But these certain Jews, certain Jews, notice they didn't say all Jews. They said certain Jews. They want to make it as specific as possible because these folk are envious. And when folk are envious of you, they'll say anything. They're going to lie on you. They're going to want to replace you. They're going to want to change the way you do things. They don't like your lifestyle. They can't have your lifestyle. And if they had it, they couldn't live it. So they are envious. So they come to this cultic leader called Nebuchadnezzar, and they tell him, King, look here, you've made a decree, and these boys are defying. And when he heard this, when this egomaniac, when this insecure, supposed to be the most powerful man on earth, heard this, here's what he said, Joe, 13.
Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king.
The king was hot. Matter of fact, he was Florida hot. No. He was Texas hot. No, he was Arizona desert hot. He was Mojave desert hot. He was mad. I dare you not be loyal to me as much as I done for you. There must be a mistake. Now, when we get to the next verse here, we're going to see, Sister Ethel, that the king said there must have been a mistake. Y'all don't believe it. The most powerful man in the world, he speak and men can die. He's got three boys that he's very fond of. He is the one that elevated them. He's the one that put them in the position that they're in. And you mean to tell me all that I've done for you, Joe? Now you don't want to bow to me? Let's see. Let's see what kind of dialogue. Summon them. Brother Bogan, please bring these brothers in that don't want to bow. Because evidently there's a mistake. These are my boys. I appointed them. I put you in that position. See, because there's sometimes in this life, when you're doing things for God, folk who put you in that position want to remind you that they put you in that position. Hey, folk, it is not just limited to the world out there. It's in the church. When folk put you in the position, they think that they put you in the position, not realizing it was God Almighty who put these brothers in that position. Oh, y'all hear me. Verse 14. Y'all don't believe me. Verse 14, Joe. Go right on.
Verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?
Pray tell, Shadrach, Meshach. And pray tell. What gives here? Please tell me this is not true. I set up this golden image. so that you guys could give me honor. Is it true that you are one of the ones that are not bowing? He really don't want to do this. See, there are folk that like you. They really like you. But to feed on their agenda, to feed their egos, they have to do something with you. But they are powerful, and they'll cut you some slack if they, quote, like you. There's a mistake here. Read verse 15, Joe.
Verse 15. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?
Joe, would you read just that last phrase again? Because Cynthia Burris didn't hear you. I know Ken Ransby didn't. He nodded off just for a second. And that key over there, you know, I know he was not. So I want you to read that last phrase again. What does it say?
And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?
Do y'all hear the king? He pleading with these boys. He said, look here, man. I know the guys that I put in this position would never not submit to worshiping, to bowing down. Maybe you guys didn't get the email. Yeah, maybe the text. Maybe your phone was, you know, out of order and you didn't get the text. You didn't get my letter. You didn't get my email. You didn't get my text. I know these things. You guys are busy with all that I put on you, all the responsibility. You may not have gotten the word, but I'm here to tell you, I did put that word out. And that word was, you got to bow down when you hear the music. Oh, I don't want to do this, but after all, I don't share my glory with anybody. My name is Nebuchadnezzar. Hmm. And if Joe Richardson read it right, he says, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now, Sister Paulette Lovelace, are you there? Joe, stay live. Sister Paulette, I want you to do me a favor. Sister Paulette, do you hear me? Raise your hand if you hear me.
Yes.
All right. I want you to go down to verse 30 in that same chapter. I want you to just hold it there, because otherwise I might just go crazy. I just might go crazy and forget the rest of the lesson. Because see, the one thing about it, we had this lesson from Calvin 3 years ago about this question was already answered. We already know what the answer, but just in case we forgot, I'm gonna have Sister Lovelace read this answer again. But notice, the three Hebrew boys did not answer it. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, answered his own question. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Let me tell you one thing. You know how like we call it a projection. It's and in some cases, a psycho-emotive projection. In other words, Joe, King Nebuchadnezzar was asking a question that psychologically he was already projecting into the future. He was practicing for what he would have to say a little bit later on. Do y'all want to hear what King Nebuchadnezzar had to say? Hear verse 30. I want Joe to read just that phrase again. And as soon as Joe stops, Sister Paulette, I want you to read verse 30. Joe, again, one more time.
And who is that king that shall deliver you out of my hands? Mm-hmm.
Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
And he did what?
Then the king promoted
Shadrach. I'm sorry. I said, are you reading verse 30 or verse? Yeah. Read 29 then for me.
All right. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort.
Oh, Joe Bogan. Sister Ogletree, did you hear him? I told you it was a psycho-emotive projection. He asked the question, what God can deliver you? And in verse, by the time he gets to verse 29, you know what it says? Oh, let a new decree be issued that ain't nobody going to touch these three boys. But I digress. Let me go on, Joe. Let's hear what Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego had to say, Sister Randall. Joe, tell me verse 16, exactly what it said.
Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.
You know what, folk, a lot of times when you're under fire, Sister Hollis, when people are accusing you of stuff that you know you are right about, when you know that, hey, you know what, my conscience is clear, and therefore bring on any consequence you want to. There's some questions you don't have to answer, because those same folk that are accusing you, those same folk that are threatening you, Bogan, they'll answer just like the King Nebuchadnezzar in verse 29 answered. Here's what they said. Now, King, we really don't have to answer. We don't have to answer to that. I mean, we've considered this thing, and we're not going to answer. Why did they speak in this manner, Sister Bond? I tell you why. They said, we've examined your edict. It requires us to bow down to this golden image, and therefore lift you, a cultic figure, above the God of all gods. You are the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, and we are very careful and choice with our words. We are not going to mince words with you. We're not going to enter a debate with you. We're going to make a statement here in a minute. We want you to hear it clearly, because it will convey our full intentions. See, folk, when you know you are right, when you know that you're doing what God would have you to do, you don't have to give an answer to any fool's question, because a fool can ask you more questions than you will ever be able to answer. What you do is you stay firm in your conviction. What you know, they knew thou shalt have no other God before me. They knew thou shalt not bow down to any grave. They knew that. And just because I'm serving in your current administration, and just because, you know, you've given me this little job here in your kingdom, I have a greater job in the kingdom of God. Because it is God who can deliver me. Y'all don't hear me? It is God who can deliver me. And they knew this, and they said, we're not going to answer you who will do it, but we're going to tell you what we will do. Because to answer who will do it, we're trying to answer a question for God. Stop trying to defend God. God got it all. God can defend you and me and himself. He don't need you to defend. He just needs you to be firm in your conviction. When folk come and lie on you, when folk accuse you, when folk try to get you to do something other than what you know God has told you to do. Now, folk, I'm going to stop right here, but I can't stop but a couple of seconds because we got to get out of here. There are things even today that men, women, boys, and girls are asking us to do, thinking that they have rule and dominion over you because of their positions and because of their titles. No, you do what God says do. Make sure you know what it is that God wants you to do and do that. And then you'll be able to answer the question, but you don't have to, because they said, we could answer, but we don't want to at this time. But we'll tell you this. Verse 17.
If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King.
O King, since you really want to know, we'll tell you that it's God who will deliver us out of this fiery furnace. In other words, O King, do what you got to do, and God will do what he has promised to do. Y'all don't hear me? When you're that convicted, when you're that right, you can say, it doesn't matter, come hell or high water, I'm standing with God. You know, you can talk about everybody was bowing. Everybody when they heard the music, they were bowing. But you know what? You ain't everybody. You're you. You're Hollis. You're Bogan. You're Randall. You're Rich. You're Johnson. You're Greg B, that Uncle Tree don't know, that's been on this line a long time. Greg, welcome back. Stay with us, Greg. You're Dolores Ogletree. You're Joyce. Be you no matter what. And God will be God. He says, you do what you got to do, O King, because God's going to do what he promised to do. We will not bow because God told us not to bow. We will not give you homage. We will not give you loyalty because you are not God. You're a cultic leader. Do what you got to do, and we're going to do what God asks us to do, and God will do what he promised he would do. He says, he will deliver us. If you put us in the fire, he'll deliver us. You're worried about position, power, and prestige. You need to be worried about, you need not worried about it. You need to be considering the presence of God. Because all of that will be gone one day. You won't be in the position that you're in. You won't, people won't tout you. And you can see how easily that they build you up just to tear you down because they are envious and they don't want you to do what God says do. They want you to do what they say do. That's the condition of your employment. If you give them loyalty, that you can stay a politician in certain parties if you be loyal to the cultic leader. You can stay in prominence in ministry if you be loyal to the cultic leaders. But King Nebuchadnezzar, do what you got to do so God can do what he's going to do. Joe, take us home.
Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
There's certain things Christians should not do, no matter what. Anything that takes you away from God, you should not do it. Don't bow. You know the rest of the story. There was some dialogue. When he said verse 18 there was spoken, Joe, you know what happened, Joe? The king's face, according to the NLT, was distorted. In other words, he was so mad, he got ugly. He was so mad, he was mad. He was mad. And as a matter of fact, it's not recorded. He commanded all the strong men to grab them, these boys, bind them up, put them in that fiery furnace. And as a matter of fact, for those of you who really got a little bit of imagination, if y'all remember Pastor Brown preaching this, he says that you remember all those instruments they're talking about playing? He says this is where Earth, Wind, and Fire got their inspiration. He says, because as soon as the king's face got ugly, and as soon as the king says, put him in the fire, Brother Davis, he said, the band struck up. Fire, dun, dun, dun. Oh, he said that the music started. He says, hey, you may not bow, but you can listen to fire, because that's where you're going in the furnace. But they went in the furnace, and you know what? They came out of the furnace. And when they got out of the furnace, Sister Lovelace, when they got out of the furnace, the king says, look at here. First of all, y'all don't even smell like you've been in the fire. They didn't smell like they'd been in the fire. They didn't look like what they had been through because God had been with them. You know how I know? Even the king testified, Sister Hollis, look at here. I put three of y'all in there bound. I see four walking around. Oh, yo, when, as a matter of fact, that's a song. I'm a poet and I didn't even know it. You know, I saw three that were bound, but four walking around. And one of them, this is what the king said. Oh, y'all don't hear me. The king said, one of them looks like the Son of God. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, your life, the life you live, the stances that you take, will make even the world stand up and say, what a mighty God they serve. Because that's what the king, Sister Lovelace, already read to you. And you know what? The king wrote another decree. He said, forget about the decree that I wrote. But if anybody ever come to me with another lie about these brothers here, they are to be burnt. They are to be cut to pieces. These boys are never to be touched again. They're never to be accused again. They ain't got to bow down because they serve, the God that they serve is greater than any God we could come up with. This is what happens when you refuse to bow to the world that is bringing stuff to you that you know is not good. This is what will happen when. Doesn't mean that you won't get in the fire. Just means that God will preserve and protect you. Y'all know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Those three Hebrew boys, you remember they were already rulers and princes. When they got out of the fire, God promoted them. Nebuchadnezzar promoted them to a higher position. The very folk that are trying to press you down right now for doing right, they'll be consumed and not you. You'll be promoted. They are unprotected. Don't worry about it. Don't think that they got all, you know, that they got it going on. They're going to meet their match one day. And it's in the person of the one and only true God. Three boys who refused to bow, but stood proudly on the word of God. Stand proudly.